Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk, Muncie Civic Theater has The Wizard of Oz through Sunday, and coming up, Midsummer Night's Dream, starting July 17th. More than 1,400 students and teachers from across the country were in Muncie for one of the country's largest music camps, the Summer Symposium, sponsored by the nonprofit group Music for All. This is the sound of some of the students practicing in a drumming exercise near Ball Memorial Hospital, the kind of thing happening across campus much of this past week. Fran Kick is a former band director who does leadership training at the camp.
So there are bands, orchestras, concert bands, marching bands, jazz bands, directors, students, even some parents from the booster support groups that help those organizations exist in their schools from all over the country, even student from Japan.
How many people are we talking about that come in for this?
We have just over 1,100 students that are here on campus, plus a couple of hundred directors and teachers, and then a couple hundred volunteers that offer to help us manage all these people.
But it's more than just marching band. There's all kinds of things happening, right?
Right, the marching band is probably the most visible on campus because they're the largest, they're outside, and they're playing the loudest, to be honest. The rest of them are inside and many of the fantastic facilities here at Ball State, concert halls, rehearsal halls, and they rehearse as a full band ensemble, whether it's concert or jazz or even in the orchestra, a full orchestra ensemble, but then they also break up into sectionals so that all the trumpets can work with a master trumpet teacher and all the violins can work with a master violin teacher and really get some expert hands-on insight to help bring music to life in a way that they just can't get anywhere else on the planet.
Why Ball State? Why Muncie?
Ball State has kind of opened their arms to this experience, and they have such great facilities both for our rehearsals and our performances in Emmons Auditorium, but they also have great housing for students. In fact, the one comment that is heard over and over from the directors who come here is, "I want to go back to college. This place is way too nice."
Who participates in these programs in high school today? It's broader than just the band kids that people would remember from their own high school experience.
Yeah, the kids that are into music, that want to make music happen, are being drawn into these ensembles because they're the one place that they can create the music really with instruments. We find an increased participation also in the dance and the color guard world because they want to dance to the music. And so they're performing on the field in the fall, or they're performing in gymnasiums and arenas in the spring, and bringing to life the music not only on with the notes and the rhythms, but also through dance and interpretation and even a little bit of theater every once in a while you'll see on the field and on the stage. Friday night will be Drum Corps International's performance in the stadium, and those are drum corps from across the country that will come in and share their performances with our students and anyone in the local community who wants to attend. But the really neat thing is that one of the corps comes in a little early and works with our students. They get to share part of their show and actually learn the music and perform some marching on the field in front of their peers and the audience with what's considered the major league of marching music.
How has all this changed over the years? I mean, has the nature of the high school music experience changed from an earlier generation?
Sadly, music programs across the country are more and more dependent on the support of local boosters and parents and fundraisers. And so a common theme over the last 10, 15 years has been that the school's support financially and sometimes logistically and instrumentally and staff-wise has been diminishing. And that has forced local parents and boosters to raise more money. And so they sell more things, they create more fundraisers for their students. And that's in part one of the reasons why we have this parent booster track here. Parents get to come in and share their ideas on what fundraisers work best for you and how can you make it easier to raise money without having the kids knock on doors all the time and sell stuff into their community. And so it's a great sharing of best practices for band boosters and band parents and orchestra parents and choir parents even from all over the country.
Are there other examples of changing with the times, maybe with technology?
Yes, if you do get to go to the show on Friday or any of the concerts on Saturday, you'll notice that electronic music has just exploded, especially in the fall. In the past, you would see a marching band on the field, and then there might be a few percussionists in front playing some accent instruments like cymbals or bells. Now we have marimbas and vibraphones and xylophones and instruments that you traditionally could never have heard before on a football field, but because we have special microphones and speakers and amplification, we can create sounds that could not be created 10 years ago even, because the equipment has become more cost-friendly and more weather-resistant. And so the sounds that are coming off a football field from many of the ensembles around the country is changing drastically, very quickly.
Part of the argument for supporting programs like this is that students gain more than just a knowledge of music, but by participating, they do better in other aspects of school as well, I think, right?
Well, the collaboration that's required to put together a show on stage or on a field is drastically higher than the collaboration that's required in a science experiment in biology class, because it lasts longer, there are more people involved, there's more moving objects literally on the field. And so that collaboration and teamwork and the psychology of how a group works together is important to understand. And then when you look at peer leadership and how they can help guide their peers to grow that in their ensembles, that's really important. So one of the distinguishingly unique things about the Summer Symposium here is that every student in every track of this camp gets a leadership team-building experience every day throughout the week.
What do we mean by a leadership team-building experience?
Our goal is to help the students understand that there is a dynamic to working with other people. And if we can bring that dynamic to life and show them how they can influence the process, whether they have a title or not, whether they're a designated leader or not, but to improve the followership in the organization and the leadership in the organization, that has huge benefits, not just in rehearsal, but outside rehearsal. And many of the students, about 40% of the camp, came in 2 days early for a leadership weekend experience, which focuses exclusively on that. How do you set the kind of example that people will want to follow, and how can you reinforce and encourage others to come alongside you and work towards a common goal without letting attitudes, personality, conflict, all the other stuff that tends to dent progress for any organization?
Fran Kick, a motivational speaker who's on the faculty of the Music for All Summer Symposium, just wrapping up for more than 1,400 students, teachers, and band directors at Ball State. More on the lessons learned at this event, now in its 40th year, just ahead.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
There's a good case to be made, isn't there, for the value of music in education at this level?
Yeah, and there was a large push from the corporate community about 21st century learning and those kinds of skills that are important. And what's so ironic, especially for music educators here, is that when people start talking about collaboration and problem solving and working together and determining goals and sharing responsibilities, all the music educators kind of look at each other like, well, that's what we do all the time. And yet the rest of the education world is just kind of catching up to it. And so I think that's why the companies that are here, like Yamaha, like the Foundation Support, they see value in bringing this to life in a more accessible way. Because again, unfortunately, in some communities, it's possible to participate in music. And in other communities, it's not so possible. And so to be able to plant some seeds now so that these students will bring that to life in their communities and engage in a way that teaches them to pay attention, respond appropriately, and get involved in what's going on might be a great benefit for our society long term. Not that they're going to play the trumpet forever the rest of their life, although that would be nice. Not that they're going to dance the rest of their life, although that'd be nice. But because they learn something in playing the trumpet and in dancing that they know is critically important for us to succeed as a species on this planet. And in turn, they're willing to invest their money, their tax dollars, their support, their time, their effort to make sure that music and the arts stay in public education.
you were a band director. Did you see for yourself benefits among your students from participating in this? And I mean, there's something to be said for the discipline of an activity. Sports is like that as well. You have to show up. You have to practice. There's self-discipline involved.
Yeah, and in all those activities, whether it's sports or music, that repeated discipline, constantly trying to make yourself better over an extended period of time is one of the few places you can do that. You know, everyone talks about the marshmallow experiment that was done with a preschool class, and they told the kid, if you can wait here, hold that marshmallow and not eat it for 15 minutes, I'll give you a second marshmallow. And 2/3 of the kids couldn't wait because they were preschool kids. They ate the marshmallow. 1/3 of them could wait, and they got a second marshmallow. And when they followed up with those students 30-some years later, they found out that the kids that could wait and delay the gratification were actually succeeding at a pretty high level. They made it through school. They had jobs. Their relationships were pretty good. The 2/3 of the kids who couldn't, well, they struggled. They couldn't get through school. They didn't do as well in relationships. And so that sense of delayed gratification that everyone knows is so important for success is not being developed in our schools and as many places as maybe it used to be. We've eliminated shop, industrial arts, home ec. We don't even plant seeds in styrofoam cups anymore, and very few kids get to dissect a frog and experience what that's like because it takes too long and costs too much money. But with music, I can develop that delayed gratification over an extended period of time to keep getting better and better and better and work with lots of people doing different things in different ways to produce one product, concert, performance on stage or on a field. Well, that's exactly what we need more of in this world.
Fran, have you ever made a convert? You're so good at expressing this. I mean, has there ever come a time when you're talking with a state senator from somewhere and they said, well, you know, you're right.
Well, I always make the offer. I'm happy to speak and present to anyone who's interested in hearing more about this. I think the real turn will be when we have everyone in the community standing up and saying, this is important for our community. Because if we just depend on the band parents, the choir parents, and the orchestra parents to go to the board meeting when they're threatening to cut a staff person or the funding or the instruments or the trip, then it looks really self-serving. But if the entire community comes together, even the folks who don't have kids in band and don't have invested interest in the outcome, but doctors and lawyers and business managers and owners who want kids who truly have the collaborative skills, the leadership abilities, the delayed gratification to pursue excellence over a long period of time. If you're that kind of person out there, then maybe we all need to stand up in our community and say, this is so important. We have to have this in our schools. We want to have this in our schools.
I imagine there's also a lot of fun here for these people.
Well, yes. And in fact, we use an example that if you're going to work hard and get better at what you do, you better have fun in the process or you won't continue to be motivated to do it. And so every activity or experience that we bring to life is designed to be a game, but within the game, there are lessons learned. So whether we're juggling koosh balls or we're balancing on wood blocks or we're trying to build a bridge with lumber from point A to point B without enough pieces to get across, those problem-solving strategies kind of suck the kids into that game, and they learn lessons that we can then talk about that can be transferred into a concert band rehearsal or a jazz band rehearsal or an orchestra rehearsal or in a dance studio or on the marching field. And then in turn say, if it worked well there, imagine what could happen in a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout group or perhaps in student council or student government or when you're on the job.
What kind of reaction have you gotten over the years from the students or maybe their parents?
We always invite the parents to come at the end of the week for the concerts. And I would say about half the parents come and say, my kid was texting me stuff he's never texted me before. Or he called me and said, I've got to go to the parent breakfast to see what we're doing. Because we kind of let the parents in on how we approach this so that hopefully they can bring it back to life back home. And so the one thing that we always do, in fact, tonight I'll do it with the students about, do you do things because you have to? Do you do things because you get to? Or do you do things because you want to? And you can change your frame of reference by understanding the higher we move in that progression, the more we want to do something, the more motivated we're willing to commit time and effort and energy without carrot and sticks, without bribes and threats, without being manipulated, without someone telling us what we ought to do and when we ought to do it. We're doing it on our own. And that's self-motivation. And that lasts a lot longer and survives lots of adversity and lots of setbacks so that you'll continue to pursue what you want to do. And the performers they see every night in our concerts, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, are students and professionals who've done just that. They gave up giving up. That's why they're so good.
Fran Kick, one of the faculty at the Music for All Summer Symposium, wrapping up at Ball State University. More than 1,400 students, teachers, and band directors from across the country were here, and they're already planning to come back next year.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
We've been talking about the Summer Symposium, the gathering of more than 1,400 music students and teachers from across the country. One of those teachers is band director Cecilia Clark from suburban Atlanta, who's here as a volunteer.
I'm Cecilia Clark. With Music for All, during the course of Leadership Weekend, I facilitate the faculty that come in to work with the student leaders and also have some interaction with the students in a small groups. And most specifically, I'm kind of the team leader that takes all of the returning student leaders out to the experiential learning ropes course that we do on the second day of camp. I just finished my 19th year of teaching. There are a lot of things that have changed just in how technology changes our approach in the classroom. We have to evolve with the technology as it changes, just simply because if we don't, we'll lose our kids. These students don't know a life without a cell phone. They didn't grow up like I did. So they don't know what it's like not to have email or things like that. So we've got to be able to reach out to them through the use of technology. That's been the biggest thing that I've seen.
What do we know? I mean, how are band kids different from other young people?
I would say because they're...
You were one at one time.
Yeah. The band kid is a kid that's really kind of willing to go above and beyond at all costs, whatever it is. An incredible amount of loyalty. No fear about showing their passion for music. And most importantly, no fear for showing how much they care for each other and are willing to do whatever it takes in that environment.
There is a lot of esprit de corps, isn't there?
Without a doubt. They're very proud of what they do.
And that was your experience as well.
Absolutely.
Mean, for people who didn't experience that, what was that like?
I'm
going to say saxophone.
My dad was a drummer in a polka band in Michigan. I know, right?
Right.
And then, so I had drums around the house growing up. And it was the 70s and the organ was cool. So I did play organ as my primary. It was my first instrument. But in fourth grade, I just wanted to be like dad. So I learned how to play drums. And my band director in fourth grade said that the drums were the heartbeat of the band. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Can't beat a good cadence,
there
right?
There you go.
I still remember that years
absolutely,
later.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What did your band experience give you?
I've been able to see the world. I've been able to meet the most important people in my life because of it. I've learned so much more about life than what is an eighth note. Band teaches you a whole set of skills beyond the discipline of the academic side of music. That
paradiddles.
Well, that's important. Everybody needs a good paradiddle in their life.
Well, you had fun. And
I did.
And students today, they're still, I mean, how has that changed much? I mean, so many things have changed,
that's
right?
I think, is the constant, for all the things that have changed, the constant is that the reality is band is social. And as band directors, we can't forget that. That's more important to them than any hunk of plastic that they win at a contest for a really great show. Their best friends are the kids that they meet in band. Everybody talks about their band family. Each band program thinks they have the best band family on the planet. I think that we have the greatest band family.
People in and around Muncie and Ball State University see, these hundreds and hundreds of people around campus and sometimes knots of percussionists all drumming together and stuff like that. What's going on around here?
So there are a lot of things that are going on around here. The kids are moving in those great big knots, as you say, and there are the percussionists that are involved here, and they can be involved in the marching band side of things. They can also be involved in the World Percussion Track, which is more like the sit-down band, the concert side of things. And we have over 500 drum majors teenagers. Those are the kids that flap their arms in the wind, and they learn how to be leaders for their band programs. We've got color guard folks, so there's flag spinning and guns and rifles and sabers being thrown up in the air all over campus. And then we've got concert bands and jazz bands and orchestras. It's really quite remarkable. And on top of all that, there's almost 200 band directors who should probably be sitting on a beach somewhere who have chosen to be here, and they're sitting in classes with some of the greatest band directors around the country.
A lot of people are volunteering here, and I think that includes you, right?
Including me.
Sometimes
absolutely.
At their own expense.
Yes.
Why is that?
All the time at our own expense. There are a team of volunteers. There are actually about 60 volunteers that come from all over the country. They are college students. They are band directors themselves at the middle school level, at the high school level. They have to pay to be here and work to the bone. The blood, sweat, and tears, as they say, for 10 days, because this is the 10 days of their 365. They spend all year long waiting for these 10 days. This place is so magical. Like I said, the greatest people that you can meet on the planet are assembled here. For me personally, all of my best friends who now are in Charleston, Chicago, and Birmingham, Alabama are people that I met here at this camp, because we come here with a single focus in mind and intense passion for what we do. You get to meet people from all over the place that are just like you. There's no place like it on the planet. I met my husband at this camp.
So band is still relevant in the lives of kids who might otherwise be distracted by cell phones or a million other things.
Without a doubt, because of all of those social aspects. It's the thing they get to do and experience and fall in love with and have no shame, have incredible pride in what they do. And they carry with them for a really long time. There are very few kids that finish a band program. And then, they always have stories. There's a whole movie about this one time at band camp, because those are the memories from high school. There are a lot of great things that happen, but for a band kid, they're going to remember that about high school. Maybe not necessarily the trophy or the name of the tune that they played, but they're going to remember all of those memories that they made, because they have experiences like this and similar experiences in their own band programs.
Cecilia Clark, band director at a Cobb County, Georgia high school outside of Atlanta, talking about what students and their teachers get out of their experiences with music programs. This came to mind because of the Music for All Summer Symposium at Ball State, which brought more than 1,400 music students, teachers, and band directors here. Interesting to hear about the benefits of participation, the lifelong friendships that are formed, the increased focus and pride of accomplishment. That and, well, music, when it's taught well, are fun too. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time, and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flexsteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next time for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.